Aries, and welcome to your 2019 Astrology Studio. My name's Eric Francis, your astrologer for the next little while, here with a look at your charts for 2019 and going forward. As for Aries, we are at the beginning of a new era. And on some level, this affects everyone in the world because I think of all the signs, Aries is one of the most prominent for everyone, and also where Chiron goes in many ways, the whole world goes. And that is the first thing that I would like to speak briefly about. Well, maybe not so briefly. So, The big news for Aries is that beginning last year, Chiron began a transition from Pisces into Aries. And what is in your sign is one of the things and processes, more accurately, that you will embody in your time with that happening. And Chiron is a particularly poignant influence in that it has a way of really calling attention to itself. That is part of its role, is to, I guess to say calling attention to itself is not so accurate. It is calling attention to what it is noticing, to what it is focused on. And, you know, you may have heard a number of different ideas about Chiron and what it represents. And one of them is that it represents healing. This is said a number of different ways. It's expressed a number of different ways. And by healing, that's not so much about like healing a scraped knee, but more the holistic process of getting one's spiritual and psychological being in some order, healing the past, healing our relationships, being conscious of the process of sickness and wellness and what they call our attention to, which is a deeper scenario involving growing into a whole and integrated being. And we in our society have a number of challenges that we face at this point, most of which surround the fact that we don't have many places to talk about what really troubles us, and there's a lot of things that trouble a lot of people. People have a lot on their chest right now, and a lot on their hearts and minds. And many of the venues that, you know, used to be open previously, which, by the way, began to gather momentum the last time that Chiron was in Aries, 50 years ago, are no longer either widely available, or more accurately, there's less consciousness of them, there's less awareness of them. It's not, popular to go to group therapy, for example. It's really, except for certain places, I guess, like Manhattan, not so popular to work with someone. And the whole concept of what working with someone means has changed radically in recent decades. And so there has been a distraction, I think, from the healing process and a medicalization of almost everything. Everything's turned into a kind of a technology. And the difference when we're looking at these things under the influence of Chiron is that you know you're in the neighborhood of Chiron when you are thinking in holistic terms, which really means whole system, which means the part affects the whole and the whole affects the part. And so, for example, under a Chiron approach, say, for example, to healing the flu. You might not just work with taking drugs and or an injection or something, you know, a flu shot, but rather you would look at your whole life and consider what the preconditions were that might have led you to be sick, and consider the nutritional issues involved, and are you getting enough rest, and evaluate not the specific symptoms, but listen to what the specific symptoms are telling you about the entirety of your life. So when I say holistic, that's what I mean. I mean looking at the entirety of something or thinking in a whole system way. And this is the essential kind of healing balm of Chiron, is the ability to go from a symptom-based approach or a specific kind of part-based approach into a whole approach. We talk about Chiron in your birth sign. We're talking about you learning to express yourself as a whole person, not part of a person, not as a person who is cut into parts, but rather a person who is bringing your whole being into whatever it is that you do. And this is a rather different orientation than we live with in our world most of the time, when we are expected to be one person at work, and then one person going out for drinks after work, and then a different person when we get home and are either alone or maybe with our partner. And in the Chiron approach, you would be who you are all the time. So that's a wholeness approach to living. And, you know, those who have tried it have often found that it is challenging. Some find it impossible and feel, you know, like it just doesn't really make any sense. It's better for them to you know, continue to live in a kind of a disintegrated way rather than in an integrated way. But under the influence of Chiron, it is going to happen one way or the other that you are going to take steps toward living in an integrated way. And one of the ways this happens is voluntarily, where you start to get the message and you pick up on Chiron as a, I don't know, power tool that helps you express yourself in ways that you may not have been able to in the past, or that you didn't have the courage to do so in the past. There can be a breakdown of some kind. There can be a kind of a system breakdown that requires you to then focus on the underlying ground and rebuild things in a way that is more stable. I mean, we see a lot of this where people, you know, finally decide to get their life together, often both emotional and physical, when they're confronted with a serious illness. Now, this doesn't happen every time, and there's no guarantees, but these points of crisis can be moments where people make a decision to think and feel a little bit deeper. And so everything I say about Chiron has as kind of an underlying basis the concept of holistic thinking, and to think in terms of your whole being rather than parts of your being. And this can be applied to everything. And one of the first places to look is where you notice that you are kind of putting a front forward, putting a any kind of a false presentation forward, or in some way utilizing your personality in a way that camouflages you. One of the most important things to know about Chiron is that it has a real quality to it. It is it's one of those influences where, you know, people might be inclined to say things are getting too real around here, because that's what Chiron excels at. And along with that, one of the properties that Chiron is most noted for, and that you will be embodying to an increasing degree over these next 8 years that Chiron is in your sign, dependent on a number of different things, though we happen to be in a major peak moment right now, is that of distinguishing yourself as the person who you are, rather than as some form of a packaged presentation or some form of a facade. Right? Chiron has a way of cutting the grease and getting underneath things and expressing what is on the inside. And one of the earliest qualities that was noticed about Chiron was its maverick quality. And a maverick is someone who does something differently. In the case of a guy named Maverick, which is where this comes from, he was a rancher who refused to brand his cattle. So the original Maverick, the person for whom the concept is named, was someone who was different in that he did not want to be cruel to his cattle and burn them on the ass with a red-hot hunk of metal. And this is interesting in a few different ways, including the kind of favoring of animals with Chiron, because Chiron, the first centaur, was half human and half horse. And so we have here Mr. Maverick choosing to stand out, and then his name becomes this concept of standing out and of refusing to conform. And this is one of the gifts that Chiron gives to us, is the ability to stand out and to not conform. And sometimes you have no choice in the matter. You're just going to, as Bruce Springsteen said, when they sit down, I stood up. And this is one of those things in the nature of this influence. And this is important in our world because one of the things going on involves a very high, even kind of twisted, demented degree of tribal thinking. Now, people are actually starting to comment about this and describe the problems with this, though they can't be more, it would be impossible to put too sharp of a point on this, because it is such a serious issue. And tribalism really means giving up what you believe so that you have the ability to conform to others who also would be giving up what they believe to be part of a tribe. This is not like a real tribe like the Anamamo Indians, but it is a kind of a tribe of consciousness or of a belief system or of some presumed shared interest, and these are a big deal now. I mean, almost everyone has got their t-shirt on declaring, their particular brand of virtue and the thing that they won't stand for or the thing that they identify as. And there seem to be two parallel influences working when Chiron is in the picture in Aries, which is that, first of all, under Chiron in Aries, beginning in 1968 through about 1977, when it began transitioning into Taurus, the modern concept of identity politics was born and became kind of a fixture in our society. But there's another side to that, and though it may not be the more popular side, because it is of the two, the more challenging, the more difficult, is to experience Chiron as a thing that bursts the bubble and that asserts itself through a person, stripping away all of the tribal baggage and making it inevitable that a person is in some way going to stand out and actually be themselves. Now, this is different from being weird and from, you know, being quirky or being special. And it's worth noting that in the previous 7 years, as you know, because I've probably talked about it in every Aries reading, there has been a different slow-moving planet moving through your sign. That whole trip is now over. Uranus is now in Taurus, but that planet was Uranus moving through Aries, which I believe began phasing in 2010. And which 2010 or 11, and which finally phased out earlier this year, and that is completely behind us. And there are some similar properties between the way Uranus expresses itself and the way that Chiron expresses itself, in that they both involve distinction. They're both pretty intense influences. They can be radical in their own way. They can be unique and distinctive in their own way, except the main difference is that Uranus often lacks discipline and focus. It's a little like the lightning bolt that strikes, or the sudden revelation, or the storming the gate of some kind, but it's not particularly good at sustaining a growth process or sustaining a personal journey of any kind. So what you got with Uranus was much more erratic than you're about to have with Chiron. And this is a fairly radical change, in that this lack of focus, this kind of electrical quality of Uranus can, and in some ways did serve to push you out of who you were rather than bring you into who you were. And there is a noted effect of Uranus in Aries that can push people out of their bodies. And we are under a lot of this influence right now, with the internet being so prominent. And the main effect of the internet, as with other electrical media, is to push people out of their bodies and also to be kind of a tribalizing influence. And with Chiron in Aries now, consciousness is going to be drawn toward the whole issue of tribalizing, as many people, but particularly those with strong Aries in their charts, are kind of awakened to the need to not conform, the need to be distinctively yourself and in a true way. And the other is, I envision a kind of a radical sense of pulling back into our bodies after all of these years of essentially mindless consumption of the digital environment. And when something like that happens, it's a kind of an awakening. And as is often the case with Chiron, there can be an awakening crisis or a healing crisis. And it can seem more appealing to go back to sleep. It can seem appealing to not persist in the inevitable and necessary struggle that comes when you make a full commitment to being yourself, rather than a half-hearted commitment to living. By being, I mean living in your truth and not accepting anything else, making no excuses, and making sure that you are willing to undergo the struggle that it takes to be yourself. So there should be a kind of a caveat or kind of a package warning on anything involving Chiron, particularly a transit so personal as you are having. And this is a personal transit for reasons I'm going to get into even more deeply than just Chiron, is that with Chiron often comes a healing crisis. And the healing crisis is evidence that healing is happening, and it can call your attention to what is lurking underneath the surface rather than suppressing what is underneath the surface, as is so often the case. And it's important to let that out. It's important to not suppress and therefore to express who you are. And I would say that that's the primary challenge of Chiron in Aries for you, and that the expression of who you are is something that is going to compel you to live in a whole and holistic way. Because if you are constantly having to be who you are, and you take that from circumstance to circumstance, you are then also at the same time compelling yourself to actually deal with being the same person in all these different environments. And the comfort zone that we tend to have, which is usually made of personality buffers and various forms of cloaking and of adapting and joining in and all that, are removed. And then this can create a situation where there is some abrasion in your environment between you and between other people. And I know that Aries has a particular, you know, delineation in the astrology textbook about being the sign that, you know, may be the least afraid to go your own way. And even if that is true, even if that is something that is, you know, characteristically true for you, the presence of Chiron is going to sharpen that, focus that, and bring that to a deeper level where you will be compelled, maybe have had some experiences where you draw out of yourself, you know, a new depth of challenge, a new depth of engagement with the world, and a sense that it's kind of a do or die thing, where unless you actually are the person that you are, rather than trying to hide it and conceal it, you're just going to suffocate you know, you'll obviously, you know, your heart will keep beating, but it's not really living. It's not really, you know, being truthful to your purpose. So that is a brief introduction, though I reckon that I'm understating things a bit here. And when you are under the influence of Chiron, it is very helpful to know you know, what to do with the healing crisis and the fact that healing crisis exists, right? The modern medical approach does not really recognize the healing crisis. Modern medical approach's whole MO is to suppress the healing crisis and, you know, follow everyone's desire to immediately feel better. The healing crisis has got a bit of things get worse before they get better, and the idea that things are getting worse is seen as evidence of movement of some kind, seen as an indication that you know, your energy is moving, your energy is flowing, and that you are responding to the new influences. Now, with Chiron in Aries, there is a compound aspect structure that is involved. And this is typically going to be, you know, way over the head of 99% of astrologers, particularly given that all of the aspects, all of the planets in the aspect pattern are considered minor planets, and the chances are very high that Chiron is the only one that anyone has heard of, who, you know, might be reading a chart here in 2019, since somehow, I'm not sure what happened in the last 20 years, but what was at one time a very active community of astrologers exploring the new planets has kind of become something else. And so, first of all, there is another planet that arrived in your sign a little bit before Chiron did, and has been prominent in terms of its effect on the world. That, by the way, being because these first degrees of Aries, where both Chiron and this other planet are, have a way of influencing everyone more than pretty much any degrees of the zodiac. So the early degrees of your sign, where Chiron is today, have a kind of a universal property to them that reaches out through the world. It's just like imagine being in an opera house, and there's one particular place on the stage where when you speak, the acoustics of the room pick up the vibration of your voice and amplify it naturally through the entire auditorium without any help from any kind of electronic amplification system. And that is how the first degrees of Aries work. So there's something that you are experiencing that's also significant in that many other people are experiencing it in a certain way, and that it may be difficult for you to set a boundary between what is really all about you and what is all about the world and what is happening in the world having an influence on you. And this is, by the way, included under the general heading of individuality versus tribalism. This is a major theme of the sign Aries. Also, incidentally, as I cover in the intelligence reading for Aries, it is a very similar theme in Aquarius, and these two signs work together in an impressive way when they are fully activated, when you are engaging them, right? Because, you know, the signs of the zodiac are like tools or bicycles. They can have an influence, but if you pick the thing up and use it, or pick the bicycle up and ride it, you're going to have much more advantage from tapping into the energy of that sign. So it's something you've got to do. You've got to row the boat. And so this connection to the whole, and also the tension between the individual and the group, is a profound theme of both Aries and Aquarius. And there's a lot of thematic connection between the two of them. But back to this new planet that's been hanging out in early Aries, its name is Salacia. And this is a whole new thing in astrology. It was discovered, I think, about 15 years ago, I think in 2004, but I have never seen a discussion of Salacia anywhere but among the Planet Waves editors. And my take on this, when I saw that it was there and had been named and was working its way across the Aries point, was that I noticed that discussion in society had become very salacious. So we're talking about 2017 and 2018, when the news became very, very salacious and everything involved a scandal. So there became, we opened a time in history where there was a kind of an obsession with scandal. And I personally don't view this as a mature or healthy thing. I have written and gotten in trouble for writing that it is my studied perception that scandal is suppressing of vital force energy. It's suppressing of the natural inclination to love, the natural inclination to be sexual, by spreading a message that to open up and be vulnerable and to share oneself in any way is to invite being scandalized. And so there's a naturally suppressing quality of scandal, and I think that that is its main purpose. But lurking beneath the surface of this is the desire to express something that's natural, that is innate in every person, and that means that it is already there. And that is the fact that we are all brought into this earth through sexual experiences of other people, and that we're all sexual beings who need to express our sexuality in some way, and that expressing sexuality is going to happen in some way, whether it's healthy and vibrant and joyous and strengthening, or whether it's sick and negative and violent and angry and disgusting, whether it's healthy, whether it's diseased, whether it's friendly, whether it's unfriendly, one way or another, sexual energy is going to be expressed. And so with Salacia in Aries, there is the option presented to take the whole question of sexuality in a mature way. And needless to say, the mature way is not really the way that our culture prefers to express sexuality. We prefer advertising, scandals, pornography, you know, all of these things that we say are wrong and make illegal and talk down are all of the most pervasive expressions of sexuality. They are in your face, God knows what proportion of internet bandwidth consumption involves watching those little 5-minute videos, and you know, who watches them? Well, you know, a lot of people do, not just people one would think watches them, right? Not just like old men, but young men and young women and older women and couples and gay people and straight people. Well, this tends to be a preferred outlet. So we have all these outlets for sexuality that are salacious, questionably appropriate. Are they really about sharing, loving, communicating, actual pleasure, creativity, or are they just merely kind of a downgraded concept of eroticism that is not only for its own sake, because that would be much preferable, but rather for the sake of harming, sake of damaging, for the sake of spreading an unloving vibe. And one of the things that you don't have to look too far to notice in our culture is that there's not a lot of places where there can be a real conversation about sex and how we feel about it. In therapy training, I learned that a lot of therapists are very nervous about having discussions about sex. I was in Hakomi therapy training for a couple of years out on the West Coast, and I learned that they refuse to focus sex as a specific topic when it needs to be learned for a while before it can be fully integrated as a specific topic, because there are special problems that people come into therapy needing help with. There are special concerns. There are special desires people come into therapy needing help with, but that for various reasons, including the fear of being sued and various things like that, that therapy eschews these issues and kind of dances around the point. And this, by the way, is an old story going back about 90 years to the rise of the Nazis and the psychoanalytic movement needing to revise its theory of what makes a person hum and tick, no longer being about sexual drive, eros, and instead to basically appease a totalitarian government system, the psychoanalytic group, these people who were kind of inventing psychoanalysis, became obsessed with death. And nothing got better as a result of that. And it's also not true that humans are driven by death. It's a kind of a accurate use of the word perversion to say that to twist living beings into death obsession is kind of strange, but The opposite of death obsession is life. The opposite of death obsession is to live and share and express your vitality. Now, I bring all this up because we're in the process of a Chiron-Salacia conjunction. It began in 2018. It is peaking in 2019. It will still be in effect in 2020, but gradually separating. So we're in the peak of this now. And so when we talk about Chiron as a force that's going to open up your ability to distinguish yourself and to be who you are, and also as a, I think of Chiron as being a, a thing that drives us toward personhood, a thing that drives us toward self-actualization, which I have observed is driven by a deep force in the psyche that wants to be whole, that wants to be real and wants to be fully alive, not partly alive, not partly dead, but to be fully alive. And we combine that with Salacia, we have the opportunity to open up a whole new level of growth around sexuality. But the challenge here is that there's not very many places to have this conversation. There's not many places to get accurate information. You have what now appears to be an almost universal need for sexual healing, because there would appear to be so many people who are sexually wounded, but the concept of sexual healing does not really exist anywhere outside of a Marvin Gaye song, and he's talking about, you know, making love on Friday night, which is one of the benefits of sexual healing, or hopefully if you want that. But there's a much more intricate and involved process that requires a commitment to the acquisition of deep self-knowledge and a searching and fearless moral inventory, as AA puts it in rather eloquently combined words, probably of Bill W. And the challenge to live one's truth in a society where what we're supposed to do is pick a letter on the LGBTQ flag, because of course heterosexual is not really welcome in the spectrum, which is, in my opinion, evidence of a not only bias but potentially fraud in the LGBTQ approach, in that every healthy expression of sexuality is inherently the same thing. It's the expression of vital force, the expression of creativity, should be, hopefully, the expression of companionship, friendship, love. The need to connect, whatever you are, whatever your, whatever T-shirt you wear, Chiron's going to get beneath that, and connecting with Salacia bring you to a place where you come into contact with this thing that is inherently about you. So, to be uber clear, this is not about identifying with something. It is the exact opposite of identifying with something. Because when you ultimately make contact with who you are, when you feel that quality in yourself, that is you. And that when you connect that with, or it bursts forth as an element of your sexuality, there are no more tribes. There is no more LGBTQIAMW and so on, whatever the new letters might be. There is you. And every living person on our planet has a different sexual and relational orientation. And the point of crisis here is that as you discover your unique individual sexual and relational orientation, and you experience the healing crisis associated with the healing journey that that represents, there can be many responses internally, and you don't know how people around you are going to respond, but it is unlikely that there is some tribe that you can just show up at, because this is not about identifying with anything, except it's not even about identifying with who you are. It's about the full embodiment of who you are. And the way our world is, it happens that this is a critical moment, and there can be a crisis when it comes time to wake up to and acknowledge and then express this thing, this quality, this essence, this set of feelings and desires and needs, and the need for healing and the need to connect in a certain way that is critical and can lead to a kind of a healing crisis. I strongly suggest you welcome this and let it happen, and allow yourself to be open to growth and healing and to integrating yourself into every part of who you are. I'll be back in a few minutes.